you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. We're still looking at this guy who was crippled, who was sitting at the gate of the temple and had been crippled for 40 years. And Peter and John came walking along, and they saw the cripple, and they looked down at him, and they said, "Look at me," and the cripple looked up at him, and he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And they reached out his hand, and the crippled stood up and walked. And if you remember what happened last week, I'm not going to hoop and holler and jump around like I did last week, but the cripple, once he got up and walked, they went into the temple together. He'd sat outside the temple, never been able to go in, but they went inside the temple for the first time, this beggar, and he was hooping and hollering and happy and jumping, and he was praising God in the temple, which I know had to start a ruckus. It had to start everyone looking and staring and trying to figure out what was going on and what was happening and what was going on over there, and it started to gather a crowd. And I imagine as this crowd started to gather in the temple, all these people started gathering around, the jumping and the hollering and the yelling started getting a little tamer because all these people were coming around. And you know, see the next thing that happens here in verse 11, it says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, and I could just see the thing going on. He's happy, he's jubilant, he's joyful. He is in the temple, probably with the right attitude of absolute praise and worship of God. But as this attitude that should be there is standing out and people are starting to gather and people are starting to stare and come around and start looking, I can just imagine what was going through the cripple's mind is like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble here. This is not good. People are starting to look at me. People are starting to gather around. And what he does, he goes over and he grabs hold of Peter and John. He grasps them. He holds on to them. I can just imagine like a little child with his mom. You know what I'm saying? They go out and they're running around. You're in the store and they're kind of acting a little wild, a little bit crazy. And all of a sudden they knock something over in the store. They do something wrong, or all of a sudden some attention happens. And where do they go? They go like attached to the leg, and the mom is like trying to walk around with the kid attached to the leg. It's kind of like that same idea that's going on. I think the beggar grabbed hold of Peter and John because they knew Peter and John was a safe place. They knew that they were going to find compassion. He's going to find compassion there. He's going to find comfort there. And so this beggar is literally hanging on, not just to one of them, but to hanging on to both of them at the same time. It says here in Acts chapter 3, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he said to them, he said, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" You see, Peter did something really important here, something that we're kind of missing in a lot of days of our lives. In fact, in most days of our lives. You see, every day I really do believe that God creates an opportunity for us to share the gospel. I really do believe that. It might just be with our husband. It might just be with our spouse or one of our kids. It might be with the grocery store clerk or the Walmart clerk or someone standing in the checkout line. It could be your waitress. It could be someone that comes into your life in some way, shape, or form. It might be someone that you see every day, but I believe every single day God creates an opportunity, truly, for us to give him praise by telling the story of Jesus in some way, shape, or form. We might not sit down and give this long, lengthy explanation of Christ living and dying and raising again, but he gives us an opportunity to be a witness for him every single day. An opportunity every day. I know yesterday, I'd like to say I'm in tune to all those opportunities. I do look for them, though. I do wake up every morning thinking, okay, Lord, where are we going to go today? What doors are you going to open? How's this going to happen? What's going to go on? Yesterday, I was having an awesome day. I went and mowed her lawn first, and then I picked up Reagan, and she and I went over to my cousin's place over there on 26, and I mowed his lawn over there, and then Brian came over, my son-in-law, and the three of us went out mushroom hunting yesterday. We just had a great time. We walked up and down the hills. We found quite a few. I could show you the pictures of all the mushrooms. We found quite a few mushrooms and just had a great time. And, you know, we enjoyed nature and we talked about different things. And I thought that was a great opportunity, you know, to be in Christ. That's cool. And when we came home, Kathy, like, texted us, like, three times when we were out mushroom hunting. She goes, "I don't know what's going on around here, but there's sirens going off all over the place, and there's trucks coming from Manlius, and I can hear trucks coming down 92, and she goes, "But I keep looking, and I don't see any smoke. What's going on?" And I was like, "Don't worry." I said, "Are you on fire?" She goes, "Nope." I said, "Don't worry. We're okay. We're out hunting mushrooms. We're good." And so we come back into town, still having no idea what's going on. We're coming down 92 going through town, and all of a sudden I see all these flashing lights by the Shell station. I thought we had a gas, you know, some gas got spilled or something happened, and as I'm driving by, and I recognize that it was in the apartments right next door, right across from the Shell station. And there was a fire in the apartments. And our fire department did a great job getting it contained and putting it out and doing all these different things. But in the midst of that fire, it displaced, I think, 8 families yesterday out of their homes. 23 people were displaced yesterday. And I drove by with Reagan in the truck, and we went on by. And I literally pulled in my driveway, and it just hit me right there. There's an opportunity right there. Where are all these people going to sleep? How are they going to find a place in all this stuff? So I pulled back out, went back down. We had a great opportunity to minister in the name of the church, in the name of Christ. We opened the church up. Red Cross came in last night, processed the people through, made sure that everyone had a place to stay. I went over to the cafe and got some chicken and got to sit down and play with some of the kids that were displaced and just had a great time with these families. And you know what? I got to hand out some Bibles last night. I got to talk about Jesus last night because of the opportunity that he set before me. Let me tell you guys, every single one of us has an opportunity to share Christ every single day in some way. Sometimes you don't have to share it in words. Sometimes it's just the action and the love that you can share. But a lot of times he wants us to speak up. He wants us to speak up. If you keep reading in the story that Peter goes, he doesn't just divert his attention away from himself and say, oh, I didn't do this, and, you know, Jesus did this. He didn't just do that. And that's a great way to do things. When something good is happening, when there's praises in your life, when God provides in an amazing way, don't think, oh, yeah, I deserve that promotion. You know what? There's a great opportunity to just share your faith in Christ that God's in control of your life. But look what Peter does. He doesn't just share the truth. He doesn't just share the verdict back to God. Look what he does. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Okay? He connects with them. He makes a connection with them, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He says, you know what? We're in the common place here. We got something in common. We have a common history between us. We have something in common. We're in the same place at the same time right now for a reason. I love that. There's no accidents. When I find myself in different circumstances and the opportunity arises before me, and I've said it to you guys here in church, you're not here by an accident this morning. You're here because God called you here and you responded to it, and it's not by accident. There's something here for you this morning. Luke, there's something here for you, buddy. You know, we're supposed to be in Peoria this morning. You're supposed to be sitting next to your mom. Are you holding her hand? Hold her hand. Okay. Makes a connection with him. Look what he says, though. He says, you handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned him, the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released. And you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. You see what he did there? He didn't come into the presence, just hold their hand and say, oh, Caitlin, you're just so wonderful. Your voice was so beautiful this morning singing it. He didn't just hold his hand. And there's a place for that. That's good. But you see what he did? He told the truth. He told the truth. It hurts sometimes to hear the truth. The world needs the truth. You know, in Christianity, we have this great way of making it all love and grace, and that's important. It is the most important part. But there's a time for the truth. Well, the time for the truth is always. There's a time people need to understand that there is sin in lives. There's sin in my life. There's sin in your life. Yes? We need to hear that and know that. Because if no one ever points it out to us, we just keep going on with thinking everything's okay. You know what Peter's saying very plainly? He says, you killed them. You are the one who rejected them. You are the one who put them on that cross. And, you know, I met a lot of the people in this time right here in the colonnade when Peter was talking to them. A lot of people are saying, oh, no, I was out of town that day. You can't put that on me. I was out of town. I didn't hear the uproar. I never said, release Barabbas. I never said that. You can't put that on me. Guess what? I can put it on them and I can put it on you because we are the ones. I am the one who nailed Jesus to the cross. It was me. Me. And you. Don't think even for a second, if you would have been in that crowd that night, that you would have been saying, oh no, release him. Release him. He's a good guy. You wouldn't have. even if you were his closest friend, you might have been thinking it, but you wouldn't have said it. You might have been standing there warming by the fire. You might have been in the background. But don't think in any way, shape, or form that you would not have been a part of that crowd. We had a ministerial meeting this week. Mark Harkness. Thank you, I appreciate it. Mark Harkness, the pastor of the Methodist Church yesterday, was telling me some of the fun things he did for Easter and the Easter season and things like that. And it was really cool. I've actually done this myself. It's been a long time ago, but he actually handed out nails on Palm Sunday. And he handed everyone in the congregation a nail. This is a new day. He handed everyone a nail. He says, this week I want you to keep that nail in your pocket. Kind of dangerous. I hope he blunted them up a little bit. But he says, I hope everyone puts this nail in your pocket. And all the way through the week, he says, when you find yourself in sin, he said, I want you to be hypersensitive to the sin that you have in your life. Okay? Be hypersensitive. Recognize when you're doing something wrong. Even if it's the smallest lie or whatever. Be hypersensitive to the sin that is in your life. Even your thought life. You know, thoughts are sin. You don't even just have to put it into action. Just thinking that bad things can, wow, I'm in trouble already. All right, just thinking those things are sin. He says, every time you sin, he says, I just want you to rub that nail. Just have it in your pocket, rub that nail a little bit, just a little bit. And so then on Good Friday, the day they hung him on the cross, they all got together, and the people who had been taking those sins and rubbing those sins into that nail all week, they took and they nailed those sins into a wooden cross. Because each one of us have sinned. Each one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us would have put the nails in his hands because of our sin. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that Jesus paid the price for our sin. Too many times we ignore our sin. We gloss over it. We justify it. We think, well, mine's not as bad as the next guy's. But you need to hear the truth. You nailed him to the cross. He died for you. He died for you. You killed the author of life. That had to sting. It stings right now. You killed the author of life. But there's hope. And I like that Peter focuses on the hope even more than the accusation, even more than the truth. The truth is, he says, and the hope is, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. You see, the hope is Jesus is alive. And all healing power takes place through in the name of Jesus. And when I say all healing power takes place in the name of Jesus, I really do believe that. I believe there is not the smallest cut. There is not the biggest brain tumor. There is not the greatest amount of cancer. There is not anything that is not healed in the name of Jesus. And when I say healed, I mean healed. I say, well, not everyone gets healing. Everyone who calls in the name of Jesus, listen to me. Listen to me. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus is healed. Completely. They are given a new name, a new life. That is for eternity. And it is complete healing. There is not a beggar alive. There is not a lame man alive who on this earth has called on the name of Jesus and is not now prancing and dancing and singing in the throngs of heaven. All healing takes place in the name of Jesus. And Jesus' healing is complete and whole and total. Look what he says. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. This is still the hope part. I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then. And turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Did you hear what happened in the midst of that? He says, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Do you hear the order and what's going on there? Repent, sins are wiped out, and then times of refreshing. Some of you can use some refreshing. All right, you've accepted Christ. I get it. I understand it. I know it. I've seen evidence of it. But right now you feel worn out. You feel beat up. You feel used and abused. And you don't know what to do next. You know what probably you need to do next? You need someone to speak truth into your life. Maybe just the Holy Spirit speaking truth in your life of the sins that are so easily entangling you at this moment. And you need to make a decision to repent right now. To repent from the things that you've been doing, to repent of the things that you've been thinking, to repent of the relationships that you've got yourself into, to repent from those places that God is not being honored in your life. Turn away from them and turn to God. Turn to the truth. And let times of refreshing overwhelm you. It's just like the little kids when moms, moms, be honest here. Can you tell when your child's done something wrong even though they haven't, you don't know what it is? You don't want to reveal that secret, do you? Can you tell? How can you tell? Well, what is it about kids that you can tell when their face, exactly? Hey, Mom. They won't look you in the eye, will they? They start avoiding, don't they? What else do they do?
Their whole demeanor.
Their whole demeanor. You can just tell. What happens, moms, when you confront them about it and get them to bring it out?
Face turns red.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? It's hard to admit you've done something wrong. It's hard to say, Mom, I did this or I did that. But what happens afterwards? You get your kid back, don't you? You see, sin entangles us. Sin holds us down. Sin keeps us from living the way God intended us to live. You know what? We're just like little kids. You know, so many times, a lot of us are avoiding God, honestly. We're really avoiding Him. We're avoiding praying to Him because we know we really can't look Him in the eye right now because of the sin that's in our life that we just need to repent from, turn away from, and then turn back to Him. And guess what? He's just like you, Mom. He's always there. If your child repents, if your child says, Mom, I did something wrong, you're going to say, well, just get out of here. I don't want to hear this anymore. Well, you'd like to. Some moms do. But godly moms always forgive, don't they? Always accept them back in. You see, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone, here it is. Here's the consequence if you don't listen to him. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from his people. Here's the truth. If you don't listen to him, it's all right. It's okay in here. We do that all the time. She's like, I got caught. It's all right. You should see this site over here. They're going all the time over here. People sit in the back because they don't think I can see them, but I can see them back there yawning too. So, all right. It's telling you the truth. Now everyone, oh man. Oh, it is contagious. There we go. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from his people. There's the truth. You know what? When we're talking to people, we need to be honest with them, not just about sin, but the consequences of sin. Because right now we're living in a society that everyone thinks they're going to heaven. Do you realize that? Everyone thinks they're going to heaven. Everyone. I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. I'm a Buddhist. I'm going to heaven. I was Islamic. I'm going to heaven. I'm this. I'm that. I'm going. Everybody's going to heaven. I've rarely heard a sermon preached at a funeral as the person's goal to say, I'm going to hell and I'm just ready for it. The only one I ever heard say that was Craig, and I know I've told you this before. Craig Robinson said, I'm going to hell, and when I get there, I'm going to rule. Well, guess what? He changed his mind. Now he's going to go to heaven. He accepted Christ and was baptized in the Mississippi River, and now he goes to heaven. Praise God. Didn't think we'd ever see it, did we? Amen. You know who are going to heaven? Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. Politically incorrect, but that's it. You can put a period right at the end of that. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from his people. Period. You know what Jesus said? He says, I am the way, I am the way, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's either a liar, or we need to find him and accept him. Here's the result. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples of earth will be blessed. When God raised him up, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. To turn you, to bless you, and to be a blessing. That's what he's called us to. The reason he turned us and blessed us to be a blessing is so that every day we could wake up and see the opportunities to tell the truth, not to sugarcoat it, not to make it more politically correct, but to tell the truth of what sin is doing and what we've done, to give them hope, to let them know that there is a hope and a future, and that hope and that future comes through the name of Jesus, that no healing power takes place except through the name of Jesus, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It's the name of Jesus. To let them know the consequences if they don't. And let them know it's not a game. And let them know that they, too, can be blessed. So open their eyes to see the opportunity that will set in their life. Share the good news and the truth and the hope of Jesus. Peter does a wonderful job. And he keeps doing it over and over. My challenge for you today is to wake up. Wake up. Tomorrow, today, don't wait till tomorrow, today, look for the opportunity. Look for the chance that God has given to you. Look for the beggar on the street. Look for those who are in trouble. Look for the need that is surrounding you every day. Look for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. The blessings he has showered on your life, the good things he has done, is not just for your benefit. It's for those around you to know who your God is. This morning, I'm done. I am done. I'm not going to keep talking. It's time to sing a song and invite you up. It's time to make a life change if you need to. It's time to repent. It's time to be baptized. It's time to allow Christ to become the Lord and Savior of a life today. It's time to make a change. And we all need to do it. Amen? Let's stand and sing. You know, as we're singing, if you need prayer, this is a great place right over here. If you need prayer, or if you just want to come up and pray, right over here is for you. You want to just come up and pray, don't want to be bothered by anyone, just want to fall before on your knees before the Lord, this right spot right here by the drums is for you. You wouldn't be able to hear anyone anyway if the drums right next to you, would you, John? So this right here is for you. If you need someone to pray with you, I know Diane put out a special invitation for all the ladies last week and it extends to the day. If any ladies need encouragement, the encouragement cards are still back here that you can write. If you want prayer today, ladies, right here in this area, right. You better get out of this area, dude. You might be inundated. Let's put you over here. It's all right. Scoot over here. All right? All right. So ladies, if you need prayer right over here, Diane's going to be here and she's going to pray with you. If you need encouragement, if you need prayer of healing, that woman can pray. And she wants to pray with you and for you and around you. So ladies, this area is right here for you. Over here, guys, if you need prayer, Randy's right here. I'm going to volunteer him. If you need prayer, he's already nodding his head, he's ready. If you need prayer, guys, if you need to be a better husband, a better father, if you need to be a better worker, just a better man, the spot right here is for you. If you've got decisions that need to be made and you need help, you want to call out on the Lord, there's a man right here that wants to pray with you. And he's willing to do it. And he prays in power for you. The spot right here is for you. Kaylin, you might want to move over to the other side. You guys need to move. No, I'm just not. I don't make light of it, but right over here is the spot where I'm going to be standing. And if you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've heard today the the truth of who you are, the pain you've caused. You didn't realize that you were one of the people that had the hammer in your hand and nailed him to that cross, and that he died for you. If you need to accept him as Lord and Savior today, this spot's for you. And I'll pray with you. I'll be with you. More importantly, he'll be with you. Not just for an hour, but for eternity. If God's laid it on your heart this morning that you need to make a change, you need some help. As we sing this song, you've got an opportunity to step out. Step out and make your faith real. Find out what God wants to do for you right now. Seize the opportunity. Let's sing. I gotta watch Luke Anderson. He snuck up on me. I didn't even know he was back there. Luke Anderson came up to me last week after the sermon, after we'd sung our songs, after we kind of dismissed, and he came up to me. He came up in the front side because see him coming that week. But he came up and said, "I think I need to talk to you." He kind of stuttered a little bit. Were you nervous? I thought you might have been a little nervous. I said, "What's up, Luke?" "You've been talking to me." I said, "What do you mean I've been talking to you?" He says, "I need Jesus." And we got together this week. It turns out he does need Jesus. He recognizes that his sin is piling up, and he can't do anything with it anymore. needs to do something about it once and for all. And he wants Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of his life. He wants that decision done for eternity. And he wants to use that decision to make every other decision he's going to make from now on in his life. And so he's asked to be able to come before you this morning and give his confession of faith before you as a church of believers for encouragement for him and so that he can serve alongside of you for the years to come. And he's asked that he be washed in a watery grave, identifying his life with Jesus, dying to his old self, being raised to new. That's all the stuff you wanted to say, right? I thought so. So, if you would, take my hands, buddy. Repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I accept him as my personal Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, he says very clearly, he says, you confess my name before others, and I will confess your name before my Father in heaven. He can't even say Jesus is the Christ without the Holy Spirit and prompting him and encouraging him to do so. So Luke right now is going to go back. He's going to change his clothes. We're going to take the cover off the baptistry, and we're going to get wet. And as he's doing so, I'm just going to encourage you to examine your hearts and minds this morning, examining what the Spirit is saying to you and what step you need to take this day. Maybe you took this step years ago. Maybe it's time to repent from the way that you've been living and allow Christ to come back in so that you might be the witness that he's called you to be. What is he calling you to do? You aren't here by accident this morning. There's something that he wants to change. Something he wants to build up in you. Something needs to happen today so that you can walk just a little bit closer with our Lord and Savior. What is it? What step?